Good morning. It's really a treat to be here this morning. As Jonathan said, I'm Mike, one of the leaders here at Adventure, and Randy is gone, who's the normal senior pastor up here talking, and since he's not here, I asked and was given permission to speak this morning, and I'm thrilled to be here. I'm excited about what I'm going to be able to share this morning, and but before we go into that, I want to take a moment to kind of go off script, and many of you already noticed that there's this guy that came up from California. Yeah, the guy looking back there, this guy, yeah, exactly, Ned Flynn, Corporal Flynn for the Marines. He's back visiting with us. Yeah, exactly. And he's back here visiting with us before he deploys to Afghanistan. And he may be here next Sunday, but he's here now. So I'm going to take the opportunity, while the iron's hot, I'm going to take the opportunity to ask Ned to come forward, and we're going to pray for him. And I invite anybody that wants to come up and join me to lay hands on him, come on up. So turn around right here, buddy. Yeah. Slide over here. There you go. And like I say, he's going to his first deployment in Afghanistan in a couple of weeks. And we're just blessed to have him here this morning. He's from our body. He's one of ours going out. So, Lord, we do thank you that he belongs to you and that he's part of our family. He's our brother. So we just come to you this morning and just spend time just before you on his behalf. And we pray your blessings on him. Lord, your abundant provision for him as he goes to this place of danger. Lord, you've made him a man of courage, integrity, and a man who loves you. So as he steps into this place, as he goes forward into this place of danger, we ask that you would go before him, that you would prepare the way, that you would guard him, you guard his mind, his heart, his spirit, and his body, Lord. And Lord, he's going to be in charge of men. We pray, Lord, that he would have wisdom, he would have discernment, that he would have great judgment. And Lord, he would walk in your peace, the center of your love, and the center of your covering as he goes forward. And again, Lord, we ask that you would deploy your angels to watch over him, to guard him, to protect him, to bring him back to this family that loves him. And we thank you, Lord, that in the midst of danger, you go before us. You stand with us, and you protect us, Lord. So we thank you for that, and we stand with that, with that promise with him, Lord, and pray your blessings and protection again on him. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Yeah. So let's see if I can get this to work. What I'm going to get to share this morning is a little bit of our story, my story, accompanying Susan as she's been going through her season of cancer for the last 18 months, and most of you guys know about that, many of you do, and we were fortunate a couple weeks ago to celebrate the outcome of the 18 months, which was cancer-free, and just, yeah, absolutely, thank you, Lord. And that's a huge blessing. That's huge. But the thing that Susan and I would both tell you is that what's really been amazing is how in the midst of the story, in the midst of that journey, God has brought life. God's spoken life that's independent of the illness and all the sickness. And that's what I get to share this morning. I get to testify this morning, and this is turned on. It is. Okay, good. That this, in fact, is true, that although the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he has come to bring life and bring it to the full. And that life is independent, again, of the circumstances. That life is, and you'll understand that more as I talk, is the testimony we're bringing today is what God does in and through the circumstances and how he is the hero of the story and the things he's kind of taught me as I've gone through here. Now, what I'm going to use is a very informal format. I'm going to sit up here, kind of relax, kind of the fireside chat format that Randy used last week, and just kind of chat, you know, just kind of share from my heart to yours. And I hope that that lands with you. And even though it's informal, though, there is a requirement here at Adventure that you have to have a video. okay? You just can't have a talk without a video. And so I've got a video I think you'll find is very appropriate for the tone of this morning's talk. It's a fireside chat, right? We need a fire, right? Okay, and I understand that I think it's warming up now, but this morning's a little cool. That's a virtual thing, but maybe make you feel warmer anyway in case you're chilled off a little bit here. Okay. I think I'll take that off now. It's distracting. Okay. So, you know, it's interesting that I love the songs we sang today. The one song that we finished up, I think it was the one we finished up on, is one that that really spoke to our journey the last couple of 18 months or so. And that is the testimony that God works all things good. He does it. He takes these circumstances, in the midst of this time of actually, that's his heart for us, and that's what we experienced. Quite honestly, when we step into situations like this, there's actually two things can happen. And the story I'm going to share is version A and version B. Okay, version B is what the last 18 months was, and version A we'll talk about in a moment. It can take you out, absolutely take you out. But the offer in the midst of trial and the situations is that he has come, and he will take that coal and make a diamond out of it. He actually does work in these situations and circumstances to make some real life, make some real. Because we're listening, we're open, we're there, our hearts are open, our ears are open, and we're dialed in, we're tuned in because we're desperate, okay? Not that he waits for those times to act, that's when we're available to hear, right? And so that's what I'm talking about is exactly how he did, what he shared, and I'm going to talk about three themes. Three themes are kind of going to kind of wave through this thing. I get excited when I'm talking about what he's done. And when I get excited, I talk fast. So I'm going to take a breath and slow down. Okay, good. I slowed down. I'm going to go basically four themes. I'm going to talk about trust. I'm going to talk about faith. I'm going to talk about intimacy and the importance of the present, the importance of living in the present. And as I share these things, some of y'all are going to say, oh, I got it. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I appreciate that. And actually, I look forward to hearing your stories in the future, because I know people have walked this journey and have an awful lot to share. And maybe this will just kind of be confirmation or encouragement to you. But on the flip side, maybe there's some of you that are walking in a journey right now, and my prayer is that something I'm saying, God will speak to your journey, to where you are now, and it'll land. So with that in mind, let me just pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to sit here this morning and share about you being the hero and the things that you've spoken to our hearts and our lives, my life in particular over the last 18 months. And Lord, I pray that the words I speak, that you would use those words to communicate your heart, your truth, your message where it needs to go, that you would direct the path. And Lord, I give you all the words I'm speaking now. And I just say, Lord, direct me and have me speak the words that are important this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are the hero. Yes, Lord. Amen. Because there's so much to talk about. I mean, every time I thought about what I'm going to say, it's gone this way or this way or this way because there's so much in there. And it would take a lot longer than I've got this morning to go through it all. So I'm going to just let God kind of direct where it goes as far as what in particular I talk about. The first thing I want to go into is the concept of trust. And I said I was going to talk about what happened in the last 18 months. But actually what I'm going to do is go back 20 years. Because that's the foundation, that really sets the stage for this conversation about trust. And some of you guys have heard the story, because I've shared before from the front a little bit about this, but 20 years ago I was walking with God, intimately trusting in my way at that time, and my sister was dealing with ovarian cancer, and she'd been dealing with it for a number of years. And I was trusting God for her healing. Okay, listen to those words. I was trusting God for her healing. Okay, and when she died of that ovarian cancer, my trust was tremendously impacted. Okay, and when my trust was impacted, my intimacy with God was impacted. Because how many know that it's impossible to have intimacy with somebody you don't trust? Right? Right, yeah. So the next 14 years or so, I was in that area of not knowing how to trust God, okay? And about 7 years ago, I was at the First Adventures Men's Leadership Retreat, or actually a men's retreat like they're going right now, and we had time to go off and spend time with God. And the question was, what do you really believe about God's heart towards you? What do you really believe about God himself? What is your heart toward God? And I went to this place I really didn't give myself permission to go to, and I realized that fundamentally I didn't trust God. You know, I didn't know what's that look like? How do I walk in this trust journey with God? I didn't know how to do that. And so I went to God and says, I don't know how to trust you. I don't know what that looks like. And until I get through this question, I don't know where to, I'm stuck. And he says, yeah, Mike, you are. And it was just an incredible, gracious heart of compassion and love that God came and says, yeah, I've been wanting to have this conversation for a long time. And I'm glad that, I'm glad we're having it now. And he says to me, he says, Mike, will you trust me? Yeah, it still gets me now. Because when he communicated that word, do you trust me? In the midst of that was an overwhelming love, compassion, not only for me, but for my sister, and this whole just incredible presence of God and his incredible gentleness, compassion, mercy, and concern was all in that question. In the midst of that question, experiencing him coming to me that way, I said, yes, Lord, I will. I don't understand still, okay? But I don't have to understand to trust you. And that was the difference. See, before I was trusting God for something. And now he says, trust me. In spite, without having some thing you're trying to get out of me, without trusting me for, just trust me. Trust my heart. Even though you understand, even though the circumstances are such, trust me in spite of the results that you're hoping for, trusting that my heart is good in that. And that's a freeing place, okay, a very freeing place, and it's a place of strength because it's not dependent. The first time, it was dependent on a result. When I didn't get the result, my trust was gone. And so for the next several years, I was walking, learning to walk in that, what that meant, how do I walk in that? And then 18 months ago, my wife came down with bladder cancer, okay? So trust God in the midst of that. And I did, okay? We did, actually, okay? We're not sure what that means. We're not sure where this is going, but Lord, we trust you. We know your heart. We know, again, it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously, our hope was for healing. Our hope is for health, but my trust in God wasn't dependent on an outcome. And so we moved, I gotta stand, I can't sit down any longer. So we moved forward into that. And we walked through a period of that cancer, low grade, non-invasive, so we're able to walk through that. And God used the doctors. The first time she had a surgery, and we hoping it wouldn't come back, it came back again, and another surgery, and then a little localized chemo treatment as far as that, and we're going through a healing process, and it's like, okay, God, what's going on here? And quite frankly, the whole idea of praying for healing, okay, I knew to pray for, I knew God healed, but I didn't know how to pray for that in confidence because I had a history there where I'd stepped into something and it didn't work out. So I was really kind of leery of that. I prayed for people, knowing God's heart, but not really understanding what the results would look like. And so we're walking through this with Susan, and we come out of this time frame with the bladder cancer and thinking, okay, we're probably out of the season, maybe we aren't. And about October of last year, I believe it was, Susan was expressing or experiencing lots of pain. Lots of pain. And we're thinking, boy, this is, you know, the surgery shouldn't be this impactful. That's kind of strange. And she went in for a CT scan, and they found some things different with her uterus, and that was okay. And then I believe they did a biopsy, I think, of the uterus. And then before we got the results of the biopsy on her birthday, the 26th of October, so when the 26th comes up, say happy birthday to her later on this month. But anyway, it's the 26th, I get a call at work, and Susan has gone to the emergency room because she's actually delivering a tumor, okay, about a potato-sized tumor. And the docs are talking to us, and the second day, another one comes out. And so they're looking at this, they're sending off for analysis, and they come back with a diagnosis of a carcinosarcoma, which, according to the docs, is like less than 1% of the people have this, and it's really, really super aggressive cancer, as you can tell by the description I've given you. And the doc comes to us, and he says, well, are you a glass half empty or a glass half full person? We're glass half full people. And he says, about 30% chance of survival for this. Okay. And so we're pressing forward with that, trusting God. And they do a hysterectomy, and part of the hysterectomy, they go off and look at all the lymph nodes in her abdomen. I think they got like 20 of those. I didn't know there were that many down there, but they got a bunch of lymph nodes out. And so I'm sitting there the night before we're going to get the biopsy back from the surgery and from the lymph nodes. And obviously, if the cancer spread outside of the uterus, that's not a good thing. It's a very, very bad thing. And I'm laying in bed that night. Next morning, we're going to go in. And I'm calling out to God, you know, Lord, what's going to happen here? What's going on? And he turns to me and he says, Mike, I want you to trust me and believe that the results of the biopsy are going to be all good. There's not going to be anything in the lymph nodes, and it's going to be a really, really positive result. And I said, really? You know, am I hearing God right? Is this me making this up? Is he really going to do this? And so I'm on this place. Again, he's gone back to this place where I was afraid to step in, and he's picking that scab and says, I want to talk to you about that place you're afraid to step into. Let's go there. And so it felt like walking on I said, no plan B, no, you know, option A, B here, you know, this or this. You want me to fully commit and believe what I'm hearing, and this is true for tomorrow? And he says, yeah, I do. Okay, I'll do that. And I turned to Susan, and I said, honey, I think that God said that it's all going to be good tomorrow. They're going to have really good news. And I love this as I think about the fact that God brought me back to my issue, my concern. He brought it back to me. He said, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he knew that there was an issue here, and he said, okay, I want to talk to Mike about this issue now. And let's talk about old and new as far as the faith issue was concerned, is my own heart. Back 20 years ago, it was this thing where my faith had to be a certain way. It had to be very, very rock solid. It had no room for doubt, no room for questions, because my faith determined the outcome. Okay? So, you know, we had this very, if you want to call it, very rigid doctrine of faith where you had to be this place, and if you don't doubt, if you don't allow any doubt to come in, then God will move. It's like this concrete formula, this contract with God. If I do this, then you have to do this. And it's like God's, you know, if you really dig through this thing, the corollary is, okay, God's looking for the moment. Oh, yeah, you doubted there. Guess what? I'm not going to do it now. Whew, that was close. I almost had to heal somebody, but I got out of it. I mean, how ridiculous is that? It's absolutely ridiculous, but that's kind of where I was at one time. So flash forward to this time now. Now what's happening is it's God calling me into a place, okay? And it's not about the quality of my faith, it's about the quality of the one I have faith in. Do you hear the difference? It's not about me, my performance, how I'm going through something, it's him, his performance, who he is, my confidence in him. You know, there's a scripture that says, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can, you know, it goes on from there. And I would hear that scripture and I would say, oh my gosh, I must really be some sort of slug that I don't even have the faith of a mustard seed, the smallest seed, I guess, in that region. And I would hear condemnation in that. But quite frankly, it's freedom in that, okay? Because what God's saying is, it's not about the quantity. Again, it's about who I am. It's who you have faith in. What a freeing place. Okay, it's no longer a rigid place that you have to walk in, that I had to walk in. Susan and I are free to discuss concerns, talk to God. You know, I'm having a bad day. I'm having a real hard time hanging on to this. Can we talk about that? You know, there's none of this posing, none of this rigidness where I couldn't go to God. And I love the fact that he takes us from our performance to freedom into who he is. You know? So, faith. And that, I love that. A couple days later, a week or so later, I went to Ransomed Heart Boot Camp Advanced in Colorado, and it was cool because they had one episode, one session, where we had very strict instructions. They were not to bring anything to God. We were not to sort of even worship him. We were not to bring any petitions to him. Well, this session was all about God ministering to us. So it was just to say, okay, God, what do you want to minister to me? You know, and it was an incredibly powerful session. It was incredibly powerful because God just spoke to so many people, ministered so many things to their hearts, brought pictures and visions to folks, brought a picture to me. And I'll share that with you right now. The picture he gave me, and if you kind of go to your mind's eye and kind of picture this, is a column of smoke. Okay, and the column of smoke was very slowly kind of rotating, like a pillar almost, as it was slowly rotating. And in that column were little bands of color, and they were different, they're just kind of structured through there. And what God showed me says, that's your spirit. That's your spirit, okay? And I could look at that, and there was very clearly, there's a special identity associated with how that looked. Think a DNA strand, if you will, okay? That kind of a picture, except it was a cloud slowly rotating. And then he showed me another column next to it, okay? And this cloud had a different color streak through it and a totally different DNA. And he says, that's my spirit. And I said, okay. And he says, when you believed, when I came in, here's what happened. And he took the two columns and he merged them together, okay? And so I looked at this column of smoke now, and you couldn't pull it apart. There's no seams, no nothing, but you could still look through there, and all the colors, you could still see my identity in there and God's identity in there, but they were absolutely joined. Absolutely joined. There was no seam, there was no barrier. And it was cool because as I was preparing for today, I was doing some looking through the scriptures, and this is what I ran across. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And I didn't realize that was in the Bible. I just thought it was, I mean, I'm sure I've read that before. But all of a sudden, I realized that his spirit joined with my spirit. And let me tell you what that means to me, how that landed with me. The first thing that landed was a sense of complete and utter awe and humbleness. Okay? That the God of the universe would join himself that intimately with me, okay? That intimately, where there's nothing, there's nothing hidden, nothing rejected. Oh, that part I don't want. None of that. It was an absolute, total acceptance and love, and just it was absolutely life changing. That was one aspect of that. Just the knowledge that when I walk through life, okay. There is no God's there and I'm here. He walks through that same life with me. He's joined so, and this is true of you guys too, true of all of us. That's what he says there, okay? There is no separation. There is no going away. There is no, gee, I wish God was, that's all us feeling that way. But the truth is, he's in the midst of that all the time. He can't leave. He's joined that intimately with you. There is no separation. He feels what you feel. What I feel. So as I'm walking through this journey, I know that he's walking through it every step of the way with me. Okay. Number two is we know the nature of God. We know that God is righteous. And we know the Bible teaches that God, there's no joining of God's of righteousness and corruption. They don't go together. God won't, you know, the best model I can think of is the Old Testament high priest. Once a year, he would go into the Holy of Holies, and rumor has it, or the stories have it, that he had bells on his robes, and he had a rope around his ankle, because as he would walk into this place, if he hadn't done all the purification rites just exactly right, the bells would stop tinkling. The guys outside would realize that, oh, guess what? He's gone, and they drag him out. Okay, because I mean, there's absolutely no joining of God with corruption. So when he joins with us that intimately, that is such a confirmation of who we are. The Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are, we don't have, we don't attain, we don't, whatever, we are. That's who we are, is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because of that, he can join that intimately with us. That's freeing. That's incredibly powerful and incredibly freeing, because what that says is that there's no barrier between you and God, between me and God. There's the word that says, you know, sin separates you from God, okay? The only separation is us pulling back. God never pulls back. He can't. He's that intimately joined. He looks at us and he sees, oh, absolutely righteous, absolutely perfect, absolutely holy, or he couldn't join with us that way in the Spirit. So our access to him is always there, always open, always free, always available, and he's always there. That for me was a tremendous comfort, and that, and I continue to grow in the knowledge of that and understanding of that and the walking in that. And so, and he continues to build that picture and translate that picture into what that means to me in reality. How did I live? What does that actually impact my life? How does that work? Let's flash forward a little bit. Did I ever answer the question? I guess I didn't, about what happened the next day when I went for the biopsy. Okay. Let's go to that one, okay? So I didn't mean to skip that. I just blew right past that. So we go in the next morning, and I'm a little nervous because of two things. First of all, the physical results, and then also this place that God's called me into, which is stepping into this place of faith, okay? And so both of those are kind of like, okay. And I walk in, and it's so cool when the doctors walk in, you can always tell where they are and what news they have because of, you know, the body language is just, it's just like this beacon going off. And he walks in and you just know, okay, it's good. He walks in, a big smile on his face, and he says, you know, all the lymph nodes were absolutely cancer-free, no indications of that. The biopsy came back, we looked at the hysterectomy, that nothing penetrated the uterine wall. And as they, although it was a very, very aggressive cancer, as they evaluate the progression or the status or the movement of that cancer into our body, his earlier analysis was a stage 4. He says, now it's a stage 1B, which is the lowest level that they can grade at. Yes. So that was huge. That was great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for confirming that. Thank you for, and the thing is, despite, you know, the nervousness, I never, it was, you know, it wasn't never any combination with God saying, see, I told you. It was, yeah, you know, it was just the love of God is just incredible. So after that, I went to the Colorado thing I told you about, and we had elected, we prayed about it and felt, at least I did, and Susan was kind enough to allow me to acquiesce to what I was thinking is do we go forward with chemo as a result of that? You know, we didn't know. God was using the doctors, and prayed about it, didn't get a strong feeling about that, so I said, honey, if you don't mind, can we press forward with the chemo? So we did. And boy, did I not realize how tough a road that is until we walked into it. And that's, those of you that have done that yourselves or have walked with somebody else going through that know what a tremendous burden that is, how difficult that is. And about February timeframe, Susan was doing chemo every week and then getting a double dosage every third week. And so about February timeframe, she was absolutely wiped out. And I was in the place of having to kind of pick up the slack. You know, those of you that are single parents, you're going to laugh at where I'm coming from, but I hadn't experienced this before. And so I'm doing the work. I'm coming home and doing, you know, bless you guys. Thank you guys for as a community that came in and supported us in that. But I ended up doing a lot of cooking, cleaning, laundry, shopping. And I was doing this out of a sense of, obviously, responsibility. Love for my wife, commitment to my obligations as a husband, you know. That's what I was operating out of. And I found myself in February going, you know, you throw one more straw on this camel's back and it's going to break. And it's not going to be pretty. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's not going to be pretty. And I know that Susan was kind of registering these things. She was feeling this, that despite my smile, yes, honey, I'll do that, no problem, you know. There's not this tremendous sense of yes. There was like, yeah, okay, I'll do this too, you know. And I know she was experiencing that, and I could see there's a sense of, you know, oh, wow, you know, guilt for her not to be doing what she wanted to do, what she normally would do, guilt that I was picking that up. So she was, her response to my where I was operating out is a sense of guilt. So I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I'm not sure how I'm going to keep doing this. I'm that close to kind of losing it here. And he says, yeah, Mike, I know. Yeah, I know. And again, his love and compassion. It's amazing. And he just comes, yeah, I know. You know what the problem is, Mike? And I said, what's that? And he says, you're operating on the wrong grid. What do you mean, Lord? You're operating on the wrong grid. And what grid should I be operating on? I want you to operate on the grid of joy. Oh. So not responsibility, obligation, commitment, duty, in other words, but out of joy. Okay. What's that look like? How do I do that? And he says, just do it. It's available to you. My offer to you is that you can do this, okay? And this is the scripture that came to mind as he told me that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So I've been operating on my own strength, and he says the offer is my strength. Okay? And it's hard to explain what that looks like, but he brought me back to this pillar that I told you before, that was joined. And he says, part of my nature, part of what's available to you in that picture is my strength. See, if you look at that picture, you can't see where you end and I begin. Okay? Same thing with your strength. If you move into me, if you rely on me, if you move into my strength, then there's nothing. There's no barrier. There's no matter of fact. I can't tell anymore where I begin and he ends when it comes to strength. Okay, I don't live in there perfectly. I absolutely give you that. Don't do that. But when I find myself at my wit's end, or I find myself getting stressed out, or getting to the point where I feel like I'm getting drained, then God reminds me. I say, oh yeah, and the cool thing is that we all have that available to us. The lie the enemy speaks to us, it says, you can't do this, okay? You don't have the strength. I used to pray all the time, Lord, give me more strength, okay? Silly prayer, quite frankly, because he has given us everything. Let me just go ahead for here a little bit. You know, the Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and I want to move forward to this one. He has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. I used to read that scripture and say, I don't understand that. You said you've given us that. I'm not walking in that. I don't understand. I'm always asking for more strength. I'm asking for things. And he says, I've already given it to you. Okay? The enemy comes and says to us, no, you don't have that. You need to be asking for it. See, you don't have it. And we say, you're right, I don't have it. You know, I guess I'll just kind of, you know, whatever. But the truth is, it is there. And there's a... this is going to sound somewhat mystical. It's not. It's concrete. It's real as I'm standing right here. There's this place where you just say, okay, I'm going to do this. And it's moving into your spirit, moving into the spirit, and that strength becomes available. and you're operating out of that strength. And I wish I could communicate that better, but it's true. It's so true in my own life. And Susan can attest, she saw a difference in me, okay? She saw me operating out of joy and a joy in serving her. And I did, you know, I'm a kind of guy that needs to have downtime to kind of rejuvenate myself. And so part of my question with God was, how am I going to be able to do this? You know, I'm looking at all this commitment of my time. Where's my time? Where do I find time to get myself rejuvenated? And he said, let me worry about that. I can't go back and look at the last 18 months and say where he did that, but I know he did. He just orchestrated it, and it was a crazy thing, crazy thing. There I am walking through this, and people say, Mike, how you doing? I'm doing great. And I'm in it. I was doing great. In the midst of the circumstances, I was doing great. And they say, oh my gosh, that is, I could only hope to live there one of these days. And I'm cheating. I feel like I'm getting credit for what he's doing. Okay, I'm cheating on the exam because I'm looking over here and cheat because it's not me. It really isn't. It's him operating in me. And so I felt like I was absolutely getting credit for what he was doing. And I mean that sincerely. I don't mean that any kind of other way other than sincerely. That's the absolute truth. Because if I hadn't had him doing that, there's no way. Okay, as I look through our circumstances and our walk through the journey we've been through, oh my gosh, if you didn't have Christ, if you didn't have that hope, if you didn't have that strength, him walking with you, I don't know how people do it without the hope we have. I don't know how they do it. And then this one. Actually, this is the kind of continuation. I want to go back and talk to this. He has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And then there's this new living version, I think is they call it. And I love where they go with this one. It says, as we come to know him better, we learn that he has called us to share his own shining greatness and perfect life. That's kind of what I was stepping into his perfect life, his perfect strength. And it wasn't me anymore, okay? As we look at this scripture, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, so on and so forth. We all know the scripture. And I used to say, oh my gosh, I'm failing so bad because guess what? I don't have patience. I am the king of impatience. I was at one time and I still am sometimes. But I'm the king of that guy. And I'd say, okay, now I've got to white knuckle it and be more patient. And somehow I'm trying to, okay, there's a book I read one time and I forget who wrote it, but it quite frankly, it's a crock. What it said was, what you do is you build the frame. At least my opinion is the cross. You build the frame and God will fill it in. So if you act it, then you will become it. Okay? And so I would say, okay, I'm going to act patient. Okay? And inside, it's all going this. You know, it's going crazy inside, but I'm going to act this way. How am I doing on time? Good. And the truth is, we have all of this. We don't need to ask for any more. The lie that comes in and says you don't have that, that's all a lie. The truth is we have this. The word says that we have it. So the lie comes in and says you don't is a lie. Then you say, no, I have the peace of God. I have the patience of God. And when you say that in your spirit, you're operating under your spirit and you move into that place and it's true. It's just cotton picking true, okay? I'm sorry, you can't say any better than that. So we go forward with this and our journey, and we go forward to a time when the chemo's done, the radiation is done. By the way, the second part, this last part, let me make absolutely clear. I'm talking about a journey that I'm discovering and I'm walking in. It's true. And I trust God to continue that journey in me, to walk in that more and more freely, more and more consistently. But it's not, I'm not saying I've arrived in this perfectly at all. Please don't hear that. So we go flash forward, finished the chemo, finished the radiation, and go off on a great 25th anniversary celebration. Love that. Came back in the July of this year. Susan goes into a post-chemo CT scan, and we go in and see the doc, And she walks in, and you know, I talked about how you can just see the body language. Okay, her oncologist walks in, and it's wow, this is not good. She says there's a mass that's appeared out of nowhere. This baseball-sized mass that's appeared, and you can just read her entire body language is, this is really really bad. Okay. And oh, by the way, there's something in the lung too, but there's a mass, and this is really, really bad. And she didn't say that, but you can just see it. And she says, we'll fight this. Yes, we'll fight this. You know, and you're seeing this, okay, we're going to fight despite the fact we're going to lose, is the kind of expression I'm getting from her when she's saying this. Okay. That's kind of hard to hear. And I'll share a little bit about what that night looked for me when I went home that night. And this is touching on the theme of living in the present. Because what I learned that night was my mind was going all kinds of different places. My mind was going to, okay, where should we have the funeral? Should it be at Cascade? Or should it be here? You know, what's that going to sound like? You know, and, no, not going there, you know? And you know, and so I went through all these possibilities of what the future might look like that night. And in the midst of that, I could hear God saying, trust me, okay? And I was saying, okay, I'm trusting you, Lord. And mine goes off again. Nope, trust me. Goes off again, trust me. So it's a combination of him saying, trust me, and me saying, yeah, I will trust you. And what that meant to me in the moment was don't go there, okay? Because what happens when I was going there, grief, despair, hopelessness would come crashing in. Would just come, just like a hammer coming in and nailing you. And it became very clear to me that what was happening was this possibility, this what if, was impacting who I was today, where I was living today. This fantasy world that didn't exist was impacting right now. And the trust God is don't go there. Okay, because nobody knows that. Nobody knows what that is. The only one knows that is God. And this fantasy world that we go into, this crazy place we go to, we allow that to come back into our lives, and it controls who we are, controls how we're living today. I know I had to confess one of the things I was thinking about at one time, as you know, your thoughts go all kind of crazy ways, is as God was saying, you know, trust me in the moment there, that, you know, if I let this take over and I go into this place, I'm going to be really embarrassed when God comes through. it's crazy where you go. It's like, that's going to be silly that I'm going to let this, why would I go there when I don't know what God's going to do, you know? And what he's called me to do is live in the moment. The Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Live in the day, because we don't, when you think about it, it's really, really crazy. It's silly to let the possibilities of what's going to come, because you don't know what that is, affect who you are today. Another lie. Let me go forward a little bit here. One of the things that I did that really helped me was the knowledge I needed to live in the day. So I'd start every morning off and I'd say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I chose to trust him that morning and just look at that day. Each day, walking each day, living that day. And this is actually a good thing for me because I'm the kind of guy that always plans. And I find myself, I wish I'd had this story a long time ago or learned this lesson a long time ago, because I missed an awful lot of today's thinking about tomorrow. You know, and I love the fact that this is the day the Lord has made. So let's be fully present in today, walking with God today. Because if you walk in tomorrow, you let the fear and the doubts of tomorrow come in, they're going to overwhelm what's happening today. And again, letting a fantasy world, a non-existent world, impact who we are today, the life we're living today, why let the enemy steal that from us? Why let him steal today from us? And God's called us to walk in that. And when we do that, we can walk in his peace, his comfort, the reality of what's happening in that particular day. One scripture that Susan got, and I loved it because it really helped carry us through this time when the doctors were coming in and saying some pretty serious things to us, is Psalm 118:9, where it says, "It's better trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." And she kind of felt like God was saying, cross out princes and write in doctors. Because the surgeon came in later on, and I was gone flying and told Susan that that based on his experience and his we haven't got a biopsy back yet, but he was anticipating that, you know, it was terminal and that we're looking at worst case 6 months, best case 3 years, okay? And so you hear that, and you want to take that and run with it, but the truth of the matter is, God gives us doctors. They're great people. They work really hard. They were very conscientious. Some of the best in the nation, really. We were blessed that way. Quite different story, but really blessed that way. But they don't know. They really don't. They have experiences, but they don't know. And if you take what their words are as the truth, that takes you out. You just don't know. Lord, I just trust in you. They're saying this. That sounds pretty serious, but Lord, I'm trusting you. We all know stories of people that were told you have 5 years or 2 years or 1 year, and they live 20 years. The doctors don't know. So why let that verdict impact how we're living today? And we chose, in God's grace and favor, not to, for the most part. One more thing I want to talk about this. I had a conversation with my daughter at one point because we're thinking about, again, the verdict the doctors have said. And one of the things that came out of that conversation was the truth that we walk in, we kind of walk in a, the fact that somebody comes and says, gee, you've got 3 months to live, you've got 6 years to live, you've got three, I mean, quite frankly, we don't know how long we've got, none of us does. Yet we live like there's this indefinite thing going on. Somebody walks in, and they put a timeline on, they put an end state on that, and all of a sudden, that's going to change how we live our life. Does that sound crazy to you? I mean, if you're hearing what I'm saying, does that sound kind of crazy? Because quite frankly, I was talking to my daughter, I says, you know, I may come home from work tomorrow and not be here anymore. We don't know. But because somebody arbitrarily puts a number out there, all of a sudden now that changes how we live our life. Does that make sense? And anyway, that was a thought I was living through and thinking about, and it didn't make sense. Again, this is the day the Lord has made. Walk in today. So where do we go from here? We work forward from that. Oops, that's too far. It's a great story, though. I love that. We went forward from there, and it was cool how God walked us through that, trusting him, not knowing what this was, what was going on, but trusting him. And there was a time when getting ready to do the biopsy. And as we're getting ready to go in there, I was asking God, how do I pray? How should I pray for Susan? Do I call out? Because there's parts of the Bible that talks about calling out to God. And there's parts that talk about speaking in authority over people and over situations, circumstances. So I asked God, how do I pray? I don't know how to pray here. And he says, pray in authority. And he reminded me that his word says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And that he's given us part of his nature. I don't understand the mystery of it, but he has the ability to speak things through his spirit. And so I walk into that under his direction, his leadership. I started speaking curses to the mass that was in her, speaking death to it. And life to her body and her cells, and she came out of that. It went in for the biopsy. The doctor walked out, and for the first time for about two months or so, we finally see a glimmer from the doctors that's anything other than gloom, despair, and agony. Okay, the first time he walks in, he says, that's interesting. It wasn't quite as big as we thought it was going to be, and it seemed different texture. Anyway, I got a bunch of different biopsies or samples of that, and we'll send that off. Okay, and I thought, and I said, okay, that's interesting. Get smaller. That's hopeful. I keep praying. And I'm trying to remember how exactly this went again. The bottom line was, they came back and the biopsies all indicated there was no viable tumor. All it was dead cells. All I could find was dead cells in these biopsies. And, okay, speaking death, dead cells, maybe correlation. I felt pretty good about that. So I'm looking at the doctors for a thumbs up, and they kind of go, well, you know, cancer grows really fast and dead cells, so we're not really thinking that's definitive. Okay, so what do we got to do to get these doctors to really start smiling again? And so they said, we want to do a PET scan. The PET scan, they put radiation in that goes and finds all the places where there's activity. And that's how they identify cancer, by the level of activity. And so we're praying for the next stage, and I'm asking God, how should I pray now? It felt wrong to pray for healing, because I really felt like we were done there. And he said, I want you to offer prayers of praise and thanksgiving. I said, good. Okay. And so we were doing that. Thank you, Lord. And so it was really with expectation. Again, God led. It wasn't us generating anything. It was God speaking to us about what we were going through and having confidence and faith in what he was saying to us. And so when we arrived, Susan already had the invitation to the doctor to come to our celebration, written out to give him when he walked in. And so he walks in, and you can just see him like, I'm not sure what's going on, but it's getting smaller all the time, and cancer doesn't do that. And the lymph nodes, the thing in the lung doesn't show anything at all. He says, I don't think there's any cancer here at all. I think we're done, and we'll see you in 3 months. Okay? For follow-on. Yeah, praise God. I mean, just amazing how he walked us through that, and the life that he promised he gave us in the midst of the circumstances, despite the circumstances. One other shout-out, and that is to you guys as a community. I can't tell you how many times we were thinking, we were struck with the community of people that were praying for us and how much that meant to us. Just knowing that our brothers and sisters were praying and standing there with us. And when we started to feel maybe down that particular day, knowing that you guys are praying for us made a huge difference. So thank you for being part of what God did in our lives in such a tremendous way. So I want to continue the spirit of praise into this. God is the hero of the story. And anything you heard of when I shared that didn't point to him, I misspoke. I really mean that sincerely. It's not a religious thing at all. It's absolutely true that he is the one that made the difference in our lives. He's the one that brought us through this. He's the one that redeemed this bad circumstances. In the midst of that, brought life that was transformational. And as we come out of this, Susan and I were talking, you know, how cool is it that we're now able to go into, we're in life. Okay, Susan's doing great, I'm doing great, and it's this idea of, okay, these things that you've showed me, these things you've showed us, we have the opportunity now to go forward in physical life in that truth, and we're so excited about that, and the praise, again, the glory and the praise is all to him. And with that, I think I'm going to wrap up. It's been a pleasure. Thank you guys for hearing this. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for, yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to come here and just kind of let you know what God's been doing in our lives and what you've been part of. And thank you for patience. I know I talk fast sometimes. I got that. Okay, I got that. And at this point, let me just pray. Lord, I thank you for this testimony of your love and your faithfulness and how leaning into you, that you bring life that is independent of circumstances and situations, and that your grace, your mercy, your deep caring, your intimacy are all available to us. And I'm just again astonished and blown away by all that you provide for us in Christ. Everything pertaining to life and godliness is ours in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that, and we give you the honor and the praise as we go out of here this morning. We ask that you continue to speak that truth through our lives, and let us experience that. Thank